I remember not long after giving birth to Tom, we were back up on the ward feeling slightly stunned, and a care assistant came round offering cups of tea. I accepted very gratefully, and in the politest voice I could manage at the time, said, "Could my husband have a cup of tea?" And she answered in a fairly gruff voice, "No, he'll have to get one from the trolley down the corridor." It often seems that men are sidelined when it comes to all things baby. Pregnancy, labor, even infertility and loss, somehow not as involved, not as affected. And it made me wonder if we've done that with the character of Joseph in the Christmas events, that we've sidelined him with much more of the focus being on the role of Mary. And while Luke does give Mary's perspective, it's Matthew who writes more about Joseph's part, particularly in our reading today. We're now in Advent, that time in the church year when we're waiting and preparing for Christmas, both practically and I hope even more, we're thinking about preparing our hearts, about praying and reflecting on the fact that Jesus is coming at Christmas and coming again one day. Our sermon series is entitled Getting Ready for What? This year, more than any other, we're getting ready for a Christmas which is not quite what we would usually have expected. Joseph found himself getting ready for something that was beyond anything he would have dreamed of. He thought he was getting ready to be married to Mary, to setting out on married life together. They were pledged to be married or betrothed, which was a formal and legal thing, and only a process of divorce could free the parties. During this time, the girl remained with her family, and there were no sexual relationships until the wedding ceremony about a year later. That's where Joseph was heading, until the bombshell from Mary that she was pregnant. He's stuck. He's a righteous man, and he wants to do the right thing by the law. The law says, and the community would have been crying out for it, that she should be exposed as someone who had committed adultery and punished. And the punishment was stoning to death. But this righteous man was also kind and compassionate and loving. And so he looks beyond the penalties of the law and decides on the other legal option open to him, to simply divorce Mary quietly without pressing charges. As he's thinking about this, Joseph has a dream. The Lord's angel appears to him and tells him to follow through with the marriage plans. He calls Joseph son of David, a hint there that the angel's message related to the expected Messiah. The angel tells him not to be afraid and confirms that Mary is to have a son through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the innocence she has been protesting is true. Joseph's part is in no way on the sidelines. He is courageous and righteous and strong and stood up against the community and quite literally saved the life of Mary and her unborn son and takes her as his wife. God certainly chose the right guy for the job. So now, Joseph is getting ready for the birth of a son, no ordinary baby, God and man, human and divine in one person. A son who has been conceived miraculously through the power of the Holy Spirit, and as verse 23 says, to be born of a virgin. Well, how can that be? Perhaps that stretches things a bit too far for you. The Jewish belief connected the Holy Spirit with the work of creation and the giving of life and breath, and we see that in Genesis. Given all that God has made, that we see around us, Maybe it's not so difficult to believe that through the Holy Spirit, God could create a brand new human being. And given the impact on the world by Jesus, on the world and individuals ever since, perhaps it makes it more likely that he was indeed conceived by a special act of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was getting ready for the arrival of a son, conceived miraculously, and here given two names that help us to see who this baby is, something Matthew was really keen for his readers to see. The first is in verse 21. The angel says, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus was a fairly popular boy's name at the time. It's the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua and means "the Lord saves." The natural expectation was that this was some kind of political salvation, deliverance from the Roman occupation. But instead, the salvation Jesus will bring is to save his people from their sins. In the same way that Joshua in the Old Testament brought the Israelites into the promised land after the death of Moses, Jesus will now rescue his people, not from slavery in Egypt, but from slavery to sin. It's about being delivered, being rescued, and depends finally on the pouring out of Jesus' blood. And his people is much more broad than the people of Israel. Earlier in chapter 1, we've had Jesus' family tree, and in that, we see clues as to the kind of people that Jesus has come to save. We see men and women. We see saints and sinners. We see Jew and Gentile. He came for them all. And we are included. He came to save us from our sins. And the Bible is clear in Romans 3 that everyone has sinned. No one measures up to God's glory. The free gift of God's grace makes us right with him. Christ Jesus paid the price to set us free. It may be that you don't see yourself as a sinner. It can feel a bit of an old-fashioned word. But it's the word the Bible uses for the way we live our lives without reference to God, that we put ourselves first, and all the ways in which we don't measure up to his glory in what we say and think and do. We might try to, by being good, by doing the right thing, by being religious, but no one measures up to God's glory. It's impossible. But Jesus came to save us from our sins. He stepped in, and his death on a cross paid the price for sin, providing forgiveness, saving us from guilt, from the power of sin, and from death, the ultimate consequence of sin. And it's this that makes the circumstances around Jesus' birth so important. If he was just a human being like any of us, he was the son of Mary and Joseph, and not the Son of God, how could he save us from our sins? He would be in the same position as us. He would need saving himself. There would be no one who fitted the description of the person that Job in the Old Testament was looking for. Someone who could make peace between humans and God. Someone who could lay a hand on both and bridge the gap. The good news is that the Son with the name of Jesus is that person, born to rescue his people from their sins. That work is done. Our part is to turn to him. The Bible says, you can't be saved by believing in anyone else. God has given people no other name under heaven that will save them. It's his gift to us. There is nothing we can do. The second name given to the son that Joseph is getting ready for is in verse 23. Isaiah says, "The virgin will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. By contrast with the name Jesus, the name Emmanuel was not a personal name. It wasn't Jesus' day-to-day name, but it describes something of what he came to do and to be, for he is God with us. Matthew shows us how this baby was a fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. Isaiah's prophecy was a word for its time about a son that King Ahaz was going to have. But in later centuries, Jews saw another layer of meaning in the promise, with the name Emmanuel and the surrounding passages all talking about a time when the presence of God would be made known. It was easy to see the promised son in Isaiah as a future son of David who would bring in God's kingdom of justice and righteousness. Mary's son is God with us, God among his people to bring salvation to them, God with us, God close to us, not aloof or intervening from a distance. And it's this that makes the circumstances around Emmanuel's birth so important. If God had chosen a different way to set the world right, and he could have, perhaps come down in a spaceship or appearing in some weird form or as a cloud or a mysterious light, how would we have related to him? How would he have understood our lives? Instead, he came beginning life as an embryo, conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit and born of a woman, fully God and fully human, in a body like our own, having a nature like our own, except without sin. God with us in flesh and blood, with power to heal, power over demons and over creation, but also hungry, joyful, weary, in pain, tempted, upset, lonely, anxious, someone who loved to be with his friends and loved a good party. We can trust him with our lives. He knows what they are like. He has been there too. He is God with us. We are never alone. He never leaves us. The birth of a son was God with us in a very physical way, but he continues to be with us now through the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew's gospel has God with us like two bookends. In our passage today, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah. Then he closes right at the end with Jesus' reassuring words, showing that he is still Emmanuel. "You can be sure," he says, "that I am always with you to the very end." To go back to Joseph, his life illustrates what it means to experience God with us. He was getting ready to marry Mary, but humanly speaking, it was a mess. If you were one of the gossips in Nazareth, you'd be finding it fascinating how a good, righteous man like Joseph had ended up with a young woman like Mary, who was clearly bad news and had managed to get herself pregnant while being pledged to him. Matthew records those facts in verses 18 and 19 in just two short sentences. But behind those words, there would have been tears and shame and upset and disappointment and feelings of betrayal. There are two ways of translating the Greek word in verse 20. that in our version is translated, Joseph considered. The other is that he was angry, and it could be translated that Joseph fumed over this matter. It had all become a horrible, complicated mess. It wasn't the start to married life that Joseph had been looking forward to. And even though an angel of the Lord put things straight and Joseph was able to be obedient and do the right thing, there were probably times when it was still hard and perhaps overwhelming to be the earthly father of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph, in a very real and concrete way, experienced God with us and provides a picture for us. Into our lives that aren't straightforward, that are messy, where things can seem out of control, where our emotions are all over the place, where our neat ideas of how our life will turn out are in tatters because of ill health or loss, redundancy, unexpected pregnancy, a difficult marriage, the choices our children make, or just the challenges of being older. And so it goes on. Into our lives, into those very situations, comes Jesus alongside us, God with us. A God who knows what it is to experience all these things, walks with us through them, and will never leave us. A God who gives us hope and a fresh perspective. What are we getting ready for this Advent? Above all, may it be for the birth of a son, Jesus, who will save us from our sins. Emmanuel, who is God with us. Let's pray together. These are some words of a very familiar carol. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.